Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less.
In this episode, Brother Earnshaw will be discussing life memberships within Freemasonry. Over to you.
Thank you. I belong to several lodges in Japan, and each one is in a different constitution. So I belong to a Scottish, a Massachusetts, a Japanese lodge, as well as Scottish Rite and York Rite, so the whole thing, the whole gamut. And among those, the Grand Lodge of England Lodge is the one that stands out, because the Grand Lodge of England does not allow for life memberships. And I think this is actually a mistake. For example, the Valley of Tokyo for the Scottish Rite is extremely wealthy, but we don't have many members. Our meetings are probably 20 people or so, something like that. And we have quite a few overseas members, but our dues are not so expensive. So where did we get the wealth from? Well, basically from all the brethren that went before us. And we, Scottish Rite gives life memberships to, offers life memberships. The life membership, I forget, I think I pay something like £400, £500. My Blue Lodge was more expensive, probably about £800. But that's for life. It's a one-off payment. So looking at it from as a Freemasonry as a business, and people probably object, but really, if you aren't business-like when you run a lodge, this is why a lot of lodges collapse, I believe, to do with the money. And so you can look at it from a point of a P&L and a balance sheet. So a lot of lodges just live on their P&L. They receive money, they spend the money, and they don't put anything aside. So the balance sheet is very light. There's nothing nothing there. But for example, our Scottish Rite in Tokyo Valleys, we have over $500,000. Now, that's all from life memberships, which we can't touch. It has to go into a trust fund. We can receive the interest, but we tend to work just from our P&L. We don't take the interest from the capital and use it. So we plow it back in, compound it, and it just keeps growing. And even though interest rates around the world are minimal, 1% if you're lucky, but there's so many other places to invest. For example, I don't know, real estate, or bonds based on real estate. We can even now go into cryptocurrencies, and there are just precious so metals. Many avenues. Sorry?
Precious metals.
Yes, precious metals, anything. Commodities. That's what stockbrokers should be doing. They're not just selling, you know, Amazon stock all the time. There are other things besides stocks. And so our little pot has grown over the years, and it's now $500,000. And this gives us a solid base, so that, for example, if for some reason the new candidates joining the lodge suddenly died off and we only got one, normally every year we get about 15 candidates twice a year, between 10 and 15 twice a year. But if we only got one, the income from that, the fees, joining fees, etc., would not be enough to sustain the lodge. Therefore, we could start taking interest from our investments. So many lodges, I believe, have just work on the P&L. They expect so much from entrance fees and yearly fees from the brethren. And when lodges get old, that meaning the membership is old, then this income stops to come in. And if you're unable to attract new people, you don't have new income, So suddenly you find yourself in a situation where you're nearly in the red. And because over the years you have not invested into assets, you have nothing in the bank, then lodges collapse. So I really think that to the Grand Lodge of England, it would behoove them, as they say, to consider allowing to offer the Brethren life memberships. This isn't the end. It doesn't mean everything goes onto the balance sheet and you get no money, because you have other ways of raising money from charities, banquets, also just pocket money people donate as they leave the lodge and things like this. So I really would recommend the Grand Lodge of England to rethink its position on life memberships. Out of all the five lodge memberships I have, only the Grand Lodge of England does not allow for a life membership. And the thing is, it's not like a golf membership that you can actually sell it to somebody else. A Freemason's life membership, once he dies, that becomes, the lodge's property. And so, yeah, that's just an idea that came to me.
It's something to think about when starting a lodge. My lodge in Newquay, Tower Lodge 7684, we have a temple that's shared by different lodges. I think there's four lodges and different degrees that run out of there as well. It was an Art Deco ballroom that got turned into a cinema. And then underneath there's a business which aids the income to keep the maintenance on the building ticking over.
Yep.
But it's we still have a very cheap lodge. It is doable if you write it off as a charity, as a charitable donations. It's a really nice lodge, actually. It's enormous. It's very, very nice. But the old financial model, it could reach saturation point if you had 400 life members who joined at 21 years old.
And yes.
60 years of masonry in them. Be extremely good value for money for them.
Yes, but then that case you would take the income from the assets.
So, sure.
It's making, say, with a good stockbroker, you should make 7% in this market without much problem. Hmm. Well, 7% on $500,000, it adds up. It's quite more than
sizable.
You need. Yeah, so. If that situation where everybody was a life member, yes. But then it also encourages lodges to think about fundraising and various things they can do. They can even go online to raise funds.
Yes, yes.
I forget what it's called, crowdfunding.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's many ways. And I think it's one of the reasons lodges become a bit stodgy, because when you've got money coming in and you've got banquets, everybody's happy, you don't bother trying to raise money for charities, etc.
True.
But when you don't have money, then suddenly, it's rather like the church when the roof is collapsing. They do all sorts of things. The church's roof fund. They have all sorts of ideas. Well, lodges should be doing that as well.
In my hometown of Weymouth, there's some very old lodges there, because it was a Georgian resort town. There's some absolutely stunning lodges, but I don't know how they're owned or whether they've been given over in trust, but the maintenance on them is quite substantial.
Right.
I don't know how they're raising the money to repair these things, but they're still going. They're still chugging along. They still run. Yeah. Very, very lovely buildings.
The reason I'm reminded of this is because the Scottish Rite Supreme Council for the Southern Jurisdiction in America is in Washington, D.C. And they got this virtual palace of a building, everything's marble. Mm. I mean, it's just enormous. It's all pillars and all gold leaf and everything, but it's starting to fall apart. It's over 150 years old. The wiring doesn't work. The roof's leaking. The elevator doesn't work. And so they send us a letter. Would you like to leave us something in your will? So they're asking for us to put, to remember Scottish Rite in our will and leave something to them. So this is sort of planning that's being done in America, not just pocket money on the way out, But
it's an enormous complex in Washington, D.C. I have seen some video. I would like to visit it at some point.
Yes, it's quite
the upkeep. The upkeep must be enormous on there.
Yes.
It's just, I've dealt with old buildings in the past and it just makes me shudder. But when you think about the money you need to pour into those things.
No, it's it can be a money pit easily. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so it's just my 25 cents worth for this week.
thank you for that. You're welcome. That just about brings this episode to a close. If you have any questions, please email on the link below. We now part on the square and we will meet soon. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.